Hello and welcome to your daily AI in-depth report for the 1st of August 2026. I'm Alex, and today we're looking at the week's research theme, how artificial intelligence is moving from better models and impressive demonstrations toward governed, executable systems. The important story is not a single blockbuster model release. It is a change in how capability is being packaged for real-world use. We'll examine three developments: DeepSeek's V4 flash update, JetBrain's open-source Kotlin LLM project, and Omnigent's policy-governed multi-agent financial research workflow. Together, they point to a common conclusion: the competitive question is no longer simply which model produces the best answer. It is whether an organization can turn probabilistic model output into workflows that are bounded, observable, reversible, and economically viable.
And that distinction is crucial from a strategy perspective. In a chatbot, a poor answer may be annoying but relatively easy to correct. In an agentic system, the same weakness can become a bad code commit, an incorrect financial conclusion, an inappropriate tool call, or an action that is difficult to trace after the fact. As AI moves into developer environments, research processes, and enterprise operations, the relevant unit of competition becomes the whole system: the model, the tools it can access, the policies governing it, the execution environment, human review, logging, and recovery mechanisms. This is why the three examples in this week's report are connected. DeepSeek concerns accessible capability. JetBrains concerns converting model output into inspectable software. Omnigent concerns controlling a network of agents and tools. All three are really stories about the AI control plane.
Let's start with DeepSeek V4 FLASH0731. DeepSeek released the update on Hugging Face and placed its official V4 Flash API into public beta on the 31st of July. The release is positioned around gains in agentic and coding performance, superseding an earlier preview. The significance is not simply that there is another model version. It is that agent-oriented capability is increasingly being offered as a broadly usable API in distributable model release. For builders, there is a meaningful difference between a model that gives a polished response to a single prompt and one that can support a sequence of activities, interpreting an objective, planning, generating code, calling tools, inspecting results, recovering from errors, and continuing toward a goal. Agentic systems magnify small weaknesses, because a modest failure rate repeated over a long task trajectory can become a substantial operational problem.
That is also why we should be careful about interpreting claims of model leadership. The report explicitly treats the importance of this release as broader than any unverified claim that DeepSeek has overtaken every frontier system. The more defensible point is that capable models for coding and tool-using workflows are becoming increasingly available, and that contributes to commoditization. For businesses, wider choice can lower costs and reduce dependence on a small number of suppliers. But it also creates a more complicated procurement question. Organizations must compare not only answer quality, but latency, reliability, total cost, data residency, hosting arrangements, legal jurisdiction, support, and the ability to migrate if prices or access conditions change. Greater choice creates optionality, but it does not remove dependency. It changes the form of that dependency.
Coding is an especially important area in which to evaluate these models because it provides a relatively strong feedback loop. Code can be compiled, tested, benchmarked, reviewed, and version controlled. If a model generates a software component, the organization can often check whether it runs and whether it passes defined tests. That makes coding a more direct deployment path than many high-stakes decision domains, where ground truth may arrive slowly or remain ambiguous. But passing a benchmark or producing plausible code is not enough. Enterprise repositories contain legacy dependencies, incomplete tests, proprietary APIs, inconsistent conventions, and business logic that may not be documented anywhere. The real question is whether a model can make safe, reviewable changes in those environments.
For technology leaders, the practical response should be a refresh of the model evaluation process, not an automatic switch to a new provider. Evaluate real workloads at repository level rather than isolated coding prompts. Test tool use sequences with explicit permission boundaries. Measure how the model recovers after compiler errors, failed tests, or unavailable APIs. Check structured output validity, schema adherence, latency, cost under realistic concurrency, and performance in the programming languages and frameworks the organization actually uses. Also examine logging, regional availability, contractual protections, and data handling policies. The key metric is end-to-end task success. A model that produces an impressive first attempt but requires extensive correction may be less productive than a slower model that reliably reaches an acceptable result with minimal supervision.
There is a geopolitical dimension as well. DeepSeek's continued activity reinforces the fact that advanced AI capability is not concentrated exclusively in a small group of US-based proprietary platforms. For buyers, that can improve bargaining power and provide alternatives. For governments and regulated organizations, however, it makes model sourcing strategy more important, not less. They need to understand where inference takes place, how prompts and outputs are handled, what jurisdiction applies, whether weights are available for controlled deployment, and how the system behaves under policy or commercial changes. A sensible long-term response is a portable AI application layer, standard tool interfaces, model routing capability, independent evaluation harnesses, and as little hard coding as possible to one provider's proprietary behavior.
That portability has both economic and sovereignty benefits. Economically, it allows organizations to compare suppliers and shift workloads when the cost or performance equation changes. Strategically, it reduces the risk that a critical workflow becomes tied to a provider whose priorities, export restrictions, pricing, or service availability may change. But portability is not effortless. Models differ in prompting conventions, context handling, structured output behavior, safety policies, and tool use patterns. An abstraction layer can hide some of those differences, but it cannot guarantee identical performance. So the organization also needs an evaluation system that can repeatedly test alternative models on its own tasks. Supplier optionality is not achieved by saying that models are interchangeable. It is achieved by measuring how substitutable they really are.
The second development takes a different architectural route. Zero license. Its IntelliJ IDEA plugin prototype introduces what it calls smart macros, including ASLLM and MockLLM. The model generates Kotlin source code rather than being invoked live every time the application runs, and the generated code can be hot reloaded through the Java debug interface. This may sound like a developer tool detail, but it raises a broader question: should AI remain a continuous, opaque runtime dependency, or should some model outputs become conventional software artifacts that can be inspected, tested, versioned, and rolled back?
That distinction has major governance implications. A runtime language model call can vary from one execution to the next. It may depend on hidden model updates, prompt changes, service availability, and ongoing inference costs. That is appropriate for genuinely open-ended tasks such as summarization, dialogue, synthesis, and interpreting unstructured input. But where a function can be narrowed into executable code, generating an artifact may offer a more familiar control model. The organization can review a change, compare it with the previous version, run static analysis, test it in a sandbox, record its provenance, and revert it if necessary. This does not make generated code automatically safe or correct. It does, however, move the output into a governance framework that software teams already understand.
The proposed pattern is straightforward. First, provide contextual inputs to a model during development or in a controlled execution environment. Second, ask the model to generate source code. Third, compile, inspect, test, and version that code. Fourth, run it using ordinary software infrastructure. Finally, regenerate or revise it when requirements, context, or inputs change. Potential use cases include integration adapters, data transformation logic, test fixtures, domain mappings, and context-specific scaffolding. It may also help where a live model call would be too expensive, too slow, or operationally undesirable after the initial generation step. In effect, the model becomes a generator of software components rather than an invisible decision maker embedded in every transaction.
There are several reasons enterprises may find that attractive. It can improve reproducibility, because a particular generated implementation can be tied to a model version, prompt, source context, and review process. It can reduce recurring inference dependence for functions that do not need open-ended reasoning at runtime. It can also support offline or tightly controlled execution. Zero license is strategically relevant because it lowers adoption barriers and permits inspection, modification, self-hosting, and integration into internal developer tooling. That gives organizations a possible alternative to treating AI coding capability as inseparable from one cloud-eyed or one proprietary assistant. Open source does not eliminate maintenance or security responsibilities, but it can increase architectural freedom.
The caveat is that generated code expands the attack surface. A model may introduce insecure dependencies, unsafe deserialization, injection vulnerabilities, secrets exposure, licensing problems, or logic errors that pass superficial tests. Hot reload increases iteration speed, but it also shortens the path between generation and execution. So an artifact-first approach needs strong controls. Generation and execution should be sandboxed. Static analysis, dependency scanning, secret detection, and test gates should be mandatory. File system, network, and credential access should be explicitly restricted. The organization should maintain provenance records linking generated code to the prompt, model version, source context, reviewer, and test results. Finally, every hot reloaded component needs a rollback mechanism and, where appropriate, a kill switch.
This leads to a broader principle. The future of enterprise AI may be less about granting models unrestricted authority and more about converting model outputs into controlled intermediate artifacts. Those artifacts could be source code, tests, structured plans, constrained queries, or reviewable reports. The model still contributes speed and flexibility, but the organization places a boundary between generation and execution. That boundary is strategically important because it allows the business to benefit from model capability without accepting every output as an immediate action. It also creates a clearer division of responsibility. The model proposes, the system validates, and a human or an authorized process approves when the consequences justify it.
The third development is the Omnigent multi-agent financial research workflow. The example combines live foreign exchange data, hierarchical task delegation, financial text auditing, and execution inside a secure, isolated Python environment. Although presented as a tutorial, it captures a production pattern that many organizations are exploring. A planner delegates work to specialist agents, those agents use approved tools, outputs may be checked or critiqued, and the system returns a composite result. The practical enterprise requirement is not unrestricted autonomy. It is clarity about which agent may do what, which information it can access, which tools it can call, under what policy, and how every action can be reproduced and reviewed.
Financial research is a revealing test case because it combines dynamic external data, domain-specific language, potentially material decisions, traceability requirements, and sensitivity to stale or misinterpreted information. A conclusion based on foreign exchange data is only as reliable as the timestamp, source, transformation, and interpretation behind the data. Hierarchical delegation creates another challenge. Responsibility cannot disappear into an agent chain. The orchestrator needs an execution trace showing task assignment, inputs, outputs, tool calls, policy decisions, errors, and human interventions. Otherwise, a polished final report may conceal where an assumption entered the process or which agent made an unsupported inference.
The deployment lesson is to begin with narrow, explicit workflows. Goals should be well defined. Source systems should be approved. Agent roles should be separated. Permissions should follow least privilege principles. High-impact actions should require approval. Outputs should be traceable to source data and intermediate steps. Execution should occur in isolated environments, and performance should be measured against a known baseline. This makes multi-agent design a workflow orchestration decision rather than a claim that multiple agents automatically create greater intelligence. Additional agents may improve specialization or enable useful checks, but they also add coordination overhead and new failure modes. Complexity should be justified by measurable gains in quality, speed, risk reduction, or cost.
That is an important economic point. Multi-agent systems are not free simply because the software can be assembled quickly. Every extra agent may add model calls, latency, context transfer costs, monitoring requirements, and opportunities for error to compound. If a planner misunderstands the task, the specialist agents may perform excellent work on the wrong problem. If two agents rely on the same flawed source, apparent agreement is not genuine independent verification. And if a human must inspect every intermediate step, the workflow may not deliver the expected productivity gain. The right comparison is not between a multi-agent demonstration and no automation. It is between the proposed system and the best existing process, including human analysts, conventional software, and simpler single-agent designs.
Across these three developments, we can see a consistent movement of AI into what the report calls the control plane. Models are being connected to tools, code repositories, live data, and operational processes. That makes identity and access management part of AI engineering. Tool gateways need to enforce permissions. Sandboxes need to limit execution. Logging and observability need to capture not just the final answer, but the chain of events that produced it. Evaluation needs to measure real tasks rather than only benchmark scores. Approval flows need to be proportional to risk. And rollback mechanisms need to be designed before deployment, rather than improvised after a failure.
For executives, the report suggests 5 practical actions. First, establish task-level model evaluation using real internal workloads and compare total cost, reliability, retries, and supervision needs. Second, separate model capability from production authority. A capable model should not automatically gain access to repositories, customer data, production systems, or transaction tools. Third, invest in the AI control plane, including identity, access controls, tool gateways, sandboxing, logging, evaluation, observability, approvals, and rollback. Fourth, explore artifact-first patterns to determine whether some runtime prompts can become inspectable deliverables. Fifth, preserve supplier optionality through model abstraction, portable prompts and schemas where feasible, independent evaluation, and clear data governance rules.
The report also changes how we should think about the phrase, autonomous AI. Autonomy is not a binary property. A system can be highly capable at planning while having very narrow authority to act. Another system can have broad tool access but weak monitoring, which makes it dangerous regardless of its intelligence. A mature design separates the ability to generate a proposal from the permission to execute it. It also treats reversibility as a core engineering property. If an action can be undone, the system can safely operate with more automation than if the action is permanent or difficult to investigate. In that sense, the safest route to greater autonomy may be better boundaries and better recovery, not simply a more powerful model.
And from a societal perspective, these design choices affect how responsibility is distributed. If AI becomes embedded in financial research, software development, public administration, or business operations, people need to know when an algorithmic system contributed to a decision and who remains accountable. Auditability is not merely a compliance feature. It affects trust, contestability, and the ability to learn from failure. There is also a labor market implication. As models automate more fragments of knowledge work, the valuable human role may shift towards setting objectives, reviewing evidence, managing exceptions, and governing systems. That does not mean all work becomes oversight, but it does mean organizations need to invest in the skills required to supervise complex AI workflows rather than treating deployment as a simple software purchase.
So, to bring the week together, DeepSeek broadens the accessible capability base, particularly for coding and agentic work. JetBrains demonstrates a possible path from probabilistic model output to governed software artifacts. Omnigent illustrates why multi-agent workflows need explicit policies, isolated execution, data provenance, and traceable delegation. None of these developments proves that fully autonomous AI employees are ready for general deployment. Instead, they point toward a more practical maturity model. AI becomes useful when it is connected to real workflows, but it becomes deployable when its authority is bounded, its actions are observable, its outputs are testable, and its failures are recoverable.
The strategic winners, therefore, will not necessarily be the organizations that deploy the most autonomous agents the fastest. They will be the organizations that build systems in which AI can act usefully while remaining constrained, replaceable, and accountable. That means evaluating models against real tasks, maintaining alternatives, reducing hidden dependencies, and treating policy as part of the product rather than an afterthought. It also means recognizing that the model is only one component of the system. The durable advantage may lie in the surrounding architecture. Proprietary workflows, high-quality data, effective controls, experienced operators, and the ability to improve safely over time.
That's our in-depth analysis for the 1st of August 2026. This week's research suggests that AI adoption is entering a more operational phase. The central challenge is no longer just creating better outputs. It is designing the conditions under which those outputs can be trusted, inspected, constrained, and used at scale. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ingo. Thanks for listening. The bottom line is simple. Better models expand what can be automated, but governed architecture determines what can be deployed. We'll be back with the next report.